Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, it's back at it again. My name is Duke Mitrado. You are tuned in and listening live to the Duke Mitrado Show. Every Monday through Thursday, we connect and talk about, well, I don't know, issues. We talk about the community. We talk about politics. We talk about economy, business, schools, our children, whatever we want to. You know, life throws so many curveballs. You know, basically, this is just an alternative outlet for conversation, dialogue. You know, we're going to talk about things in a real sort of a way. Not a lot of hype or propaganda here. We just basically have a real conversation. And I like to bring guests who bring a little different perspective than maybe our listeners are accustomed to. In tonight's program, we are talking about basically hip-hop music. What's going on with hip-hop music? We know that within the black community and the Hispanic community that hip-hop is the soundtrack of the community. But why? Why is it the anthem? Why is it the lyrical content, or is it just the beat of the music? You know, there's a huge industry. There's a lot of people that are making money in the music business, and a lot of people who aren't. Everyone wants to be a rapper. I mean, we all know everyone wants to be famous. People work and they record albums and they try to do lots of different things in order to make it in the music industry. Some people have success and some don't. Some find help with record labels. Some go it alone on their own. Tonight, we're going to be visiting with an artist who's kind of done a little bit of everything. He's been independent. He's worked with a label. He's put out multiple albums. He's shooting music videos. He's doing all the things required to make money in the music business these days. His name is Jay Trubb. I've known him for a few years now. I started recording him many years ago, and I have watched his career expand and grow, and have kind of kept in contact with him through the years. So great to have him with us tonight. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing today, man?
All right. Well, you know, I've always told you I'm going to get you on my show, and here we are. We're doing it.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate you having me, man.
Well, you know, the whole thing is, you know me. You know me. I tell it like it is.
Different.
And you know that we've had the discussion before about music and how it influences a community. You know, I don't come up with the lyrics. You guys come up with the lyrics. Tell me, when you're putting an album together and you're thinking about the type of music you're going to put on that album, how much thought do you put into lyrical content?
Me as the artist, I put a lot of thought into the lyrical content. Really, and where I get it from is really just telling my story, and a lot of people relate to it, evidently, you know. But as far as how much I put into the lyrical content, I put everything into the lyrical content. There's a lot of artists that, you know, the music is watered down, their lyrical content isn't there, there's no message anymore. I like to keep that message alive in my music still. I'm still trying to speak positively, and I may tell my story, and there may be some dark areas, but I like to keep, you know, keep it in, I don't glorify anything. I like to keep it realistic, and I like to tell the truth about it, you know?
Well, tell the audience a little bit about your story. What is it about you that makes you relatable to your fans?
Well, my name is Jay Trubb. My debut album was called Down South Mexican, and I'm a I'm a Mexican rapper, you know, so that's one thing that makes me stand out because there's not that many of us in the Latin community that are doing hip-hop. So that makes me relatable to a lot of, you know, especially here in Texas, it makes me relatable to a lot of, you know, a pretty big percentage of the population is of Latin, you know, Latin descent. So,
it's
a big market for me.
Do they relate to, like, your struggle? I mean, tell me about what life was like for you coming up, growing up.
Life for me growing up, where would it start? I grew up in San Antonio. I'm from Waco, but when my parents split up, I moved with my mom to San Antonio. So, and I lived with her until I came back when I was about 15. And when I came back, I was already doing music. And what made me stand out was I didn't rap like anybody else that was doing music at that time because I had came up in San Antonio. I had more of a, you know, a big city style. One of my first rap names was City Boy. That's what everybody called me because I had, you know, a big city flow is what they said. So that's pretty much how it started off with me in San Antonio with my mom, single mother, me and my sister, you know. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that story alone. You know, people struggling with one parent in the household. But that's pretty much how it started with me. I've been a fan of music. I was a fan first, you know. I've been a fan of music for as long as I can remember. And found a passion for it, found a release with my music. I released a lot of stuff that I had hidden inside or bottled up inside. I released it all through my music, you know. So even before
kind of like
I had
therapy.
People, oh, definitely. I tell people all the time, I don't know where I would have been if I didn't do music, you know. That's always been therapy to me. Even how, doesn't matter how far we end up taking it with this music, it's kept me sane. It's kept me out of a lot of trouble. It's been real good to me, you know. So it's been definitely been a therapy, definitely been a friend of mine. And, you know, and it starts young. I started really young.
And you know, your music evolves. You know, when you're young and single, you're not just you, but people, you know, in the music industry in general, they're talking about going to the club, they're talking about hooking up, whether it's country music or rap, it's all the same general thing. Or is this guy going to hook up with this girl, you know, that's what the whole theme is. But now you've got, you know, now you've got a child of your own. How do you see your music evolving?
Oh man, let's see, where can I start? It's a lot of things. Just thinking as a parent now, knowing and understanding that I have a voice that younger people listen to, and that I have an influence on people now. Maybe when I was younger, I you know, the things that I rapped about, I wouldn't rap about today. Because just for the simple fact that I can't tell somebody else's kids to go do something that I'm not going to turn around and tell my kids to do, you know? I can't glorify the negativity that goes on in the hood anymore like I used to when I was, you know, I was young and just living it. And like I said, just speaking what I saw and just telling my story. But now that I'm older and I have the eyes of a parent, that's my main thing. I'm trying to, now that I have a voice, I'm trying to be the voice of progress. I can't keep glorifying anything that goes on in the hood that's been going on for 30 years, gangs, drug dealing. I can't glorify that anymore because that sets us back as a people, you know. I might be one of the only ones that look at it like that. But and even though some of those negative things might have gone on, and it still might be part of my story, I'd like to show the progress that we don't have to always be stuck in that as a people. The older generations went through that. We saw what happened to them. You know, the gangs have been going on for a long time. We saw what happened to those generations. I'm from the generation that saw the generation above me go to jail forever like that and die in the streets over nothing. So it would be stupid to tell my people to keep going in that circle, you know?
But why does it seem like that's what, unfortunately, that's what hip-hop and rap music does. It seems to continue, like you said, leading people down that path. It continues to glorify. I mean, and I know, you know, it's like as you get older, you realize things, and as your life evolves, you realize things too. And you, it's hard to go back and say, well, I shouldn't have done this, or maybe we should have done it like this, because that's all water
Correct.
under the bridge. But the new acts, the record labels, man, if you're not tatted up, if you're not willing to lay it all on the line for hardcore anything goes music, then you're not gonna get picked up. If you're not gonna play their game, they're not gonna play with you.
And that leads me to think of the bigger problem. You know, it's not us that are that own these record labels on the major scales either, you know. I don't know how many minority label owners in the majors, as far as, you know, as far as underground, there are plenty of minority label owners, but in the majors, ones that are getting people on the radio 24/7, I don't know any minority owners. So I don't know. I think it's a vicious cycle that some people might like us to stay in, you know? I mean, what else can
Well,
I
and you
think?
know,
What else?
I've kind of mentioned I mentioned that to you before also in some of our conversations that you know, socialism, progressivism, all of these communism, all of these forces that have always been here, to me it's like they operate within music. You know, it's like it's like that there was a song that came out, they were glorifying getting a food stamp card or an EBT. Remember that? It was came out many, many years ago. I got my EBT. I got my EBT. I'm thinking, gosh, I mean, why are we so excited about a welfare check?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. There might be some people that enjoy it being the way that it is. They enjoy us being stuck in the same routine. It's you know, and why? And if there is higher powers that did want that, where else would they start? Nobody, you know, the younger generations, they don't want to be doctors. That's how we, you know, that's you pretty much nailed that when you said it when we first started. Everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to be an artist. Everybody wants to be a rapper. So, you know, it's not the doctors you can go talk to influence the people, or everybody wants to be an artist. So why not put an artist in front of us glorifying this, and everybody else is going to follow them doing that as well. So I don't know. It seems like a secret agenda. We don't own any labels in the major with the major companies, which I don't know. That's where hip hop started getting lost to me. You know, when the underground starts making a bigger comeback, which it has as of recently, the corporate doesn't have so much control over the content that we make, and that's what I enjoy about being an underground artist, because I make the kind of music that I like.
Yeah, you do what you want, you build your own loyal fan base and you market to them directly. You kind of bypass the label.
Yeah, and a lot of people are doing that now. That's where a lot of these labels are going. I mean, because once you go major, and once they cut you that check, you make the kind of music that they want you to make.
Yep.
And once I started getting in my own contract situations and learning that firsthand, you know, luckily I was never in a situation where I had to make any kind of music that wasn't me. The label was on the same page with me, but I can understand how it works on the major label, on the major level now, though. Once they cut
Yeah.
you the check for the con, you know, for and you sign that contract, that's it. You're just a voice. You're just a puppet.
Yeah.
So
Until
I
you fulfill
understand
that contract, yeah.
exactly.
Well, I want to eventually, you know, here in this conversation, I want to start talking a little bit about politics, but before we do, since you do have a voice, you know, to the young Hispanic males who hear this, the young person who's, you know, maybe not doing so well in school, or maybe, you know, thinks that life is stacked against them. Well, what do you say? What kind of hope or words can you give to those kids?
Man, what I could say to them is, you just definitely can't make permanent decisions on temporary feelings. You know, I've been there. You know, like we spoke of earlier, when I had a child, there was a whole different dynamic with my music, with my child, with my wife, with all that kind of stuff, and I felt like giving up. I had to put music on the back burner, and I just didn't have time for it. And, you know, I'm talking to the younger crowd, I'm talking to myself as well. We just can't give up, man. Even though it may seem impossible. I'm thinking, man, I'm supposed to have a name already. You know, people look up to me, my music. I have no time to do my music. It just, you know, it just seems like the deck is stacked against you, and you just can't give up, man. You got to stick with it because you don't know what's coming next. It always gets better. And you know, I can go on for days about speaking to a younger crowd. You gotta do what you love, man. My grandfather always told me, if you find something that you love doing and you pursue it, you'll never work a day in your life, you know? And, that's kind of how I feel. I just stuck with what I loved. I've been doing music as long as I can remember. And, I can't count how many times I felt like giving up when things don't go my way, you know, and I've put years upon years into this, and, sometimes seeing very little progress, and, you just got to keep chipping away at it, man. You just can't quit. And, you know, one thing I would say, what I'd like to see with the younger generations is we got to start making it cool to take care of our business and taking care of our responsibilities again. You know, we make it look cool on TV to sell drugs. We make it cool to kill people. We make it cool to even go to jail. We, as a people, of any color, of any age, of any level, have to start making it cool to take care of our business again. Make it cool to be a husband again. Make it cool to take care of your bills, you know?
to be a father, yeah.
You know, and that'll help us as a people. That'll help the next generations. That'll help everything. You know, there's a lot of single parent households, you know, that can relate to what I had to go through. I never had a dad around, you know, so when I had the opportunity to be a dad, you know, I took it serious. I took it very serious. You've known me for years. You know, you saw the change, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We all got to grow up sometime, you know. Even me as a youngster, I thought that day would never come for me. But, hey, that's what I'd like to see as a people. You know, we glorify all the negative things. We have to wake up as people and understand what no matter what's on TV, no matter what's on the radio, you know, we have to know what's right or wrong, regardless of what they're showing us.
Yeah, you have to be willing to search for the truth.
Yeah.
Because all they feed us is propaganda over and over again. Hey, go ahead.
No, I was just chiming in with you. That's exactly what's going on, man. I've hung out with some of the biggest names in the game with the cameras off and behind closed doors, man. And a lot of these people, they're not who you would think they would be at all. You know,
mm-hmm.
I see the act cut on and cut off as the camera cuts on. You know, a lot of these guys. I won't tell any names, but there's some of the people's favorite artists, big name artists in the South with hip hop. They're not who you would think they are. They're family men. They're you know, all of that, and you wouldn't suspect that. Once I started seeing that, I saw a different side of it.
Yeah. Okay. So I asked you about advice to the fellas. What do you say to the young, to the teenage, the 14, 15, 16, you know, 17-year-old girls out there, Hispanic girls,
man,
especially?
You got to respect yourself. You know, that's first and foremost. I have a daughter, you know, so, and I keep that listens to my music. She loves everything that I do, you know, so I keep that in mind with my music. You gotta respect yourself as a queen and make others respect you that same way. And I'm guilty of it too. We degrade our women in our music, and it's not supposed to be like that. I have a new single I'm about to start putting some major push behind. It's called Brown Queen, and it's a totally different side of it. You know, there's a lot of women in our generation that are really crooked. That you know, I guess maybe they weren't raised to respect themselves or whatever. So in a lot of my songs, I do address that, and I may say some derogatory names and stuff like that. But what I'm showing is there's different. You know what I mean? Respect yourself as a queen. There's that Brown Queen single. It's speaking directly to the women. Women like my mother, single mothers that raised me. That's the main thing that I can say to the young women. You have to respect yourself. If you don't, then who else will? You know, it's kind of guys are only, people are only going to treat you the way that you display. You know what I'm saying? So if you come off not respecting yourself and a fast little chick, that's how people are going to treat you. That's how people are going to come at you. They're not going to respect you. And that's the same kind of stuff that I'm going to teach my daughter, you know? So, like I said, when I'm talking to the viewers, I'm talking to myself as well. I'm part of that as well. I need to be part of the solution. I've been part of the problem before. But that's key with women. That's key with women.
Yeah. All right, so we've got 10 minutes left in the program here. We're going to talk about politics. So, you know, obviously we've got a presidential election coming up. And you used to say, I've heard you say before, that you think that our vote doesn't matter. Do you still feel that way?
Mm-hmm. To a certain extent. I've said that out of frustration being younger. To a certain extent, I don't feel like that anymore. To a certain extent, I still do feel that way. The reason why I still feel that way is because I'm not big on politics because I get myself worked up and it'll make me mad. So I don't get into it too much on TV and stuff like that because I always feel like they're lying to us. They've built such a reputation for themselves that I always feel like they're lying, you know. And when it comes time to vote, if I have to narrow it down to who I think is lying less, you know, I I have a hard time picking. You know,
you just rather not vote at all. You just say I'm not going to vote at all.
And that's my take. That's what I do. I wouldn't suggest that because then we have no voice at all. But that's my frustration with the system. That's my frustration with it not mattering. I don't get into the politics, so maybe you'll be able to correct me on some of this, but I don't see a huge difference now than what I did before Obama was in office. And that was my first and only time voting. That was the first time I was eligible, his first term, and I was real excited just on the fact of being able to vote, and I was real excited that, you know, it was a black president. It was somebody that I felt was maybe one of us. He had the whole hip-hop community behind him, and I didn't see much change. I don't know why the soldiers are still at war. I thought that was something that we were promised 8 years ago that was going to stop. And like I said, maybe you can educate me on that because I don't get into it because it upsets me. But I still don't understand. That's one thing of many. It's still the same. So that led me to believe that it didn't matter who was president, it was still going to be a big mess. So that's kind of why I feel like our vote doesn't matter. Not saying that we don't have a voice and we shouldn't use it. I'm just saying we might have already gotten ourselves in such a big mess that the outcome is going to be bad. And either way, it's who's it going to be less bad with? And at that point, I just, you know.
The lesser of two evils. Well, I can tell you that, you know, I have known that the Democrat Party, see, it really boils down to the two parties, the Democrats who have been infiltrated by socialists and communists, literally. Bernie Sanders admitted he was a Democrat socialist. So these people want to take from the rich, give to the poor. They want to redistribute the wealth. They're the ones who are always having the protest, and they're never happy until everyone is the same. Everyone gets a trophy. You know, that's their deal. And to me, that's like a dream killer. And that's what they want. To me, that's what they want. They want to break us down. They want to get rid of God from all the government, from any of our schools, from having any influence over the population. They want to eliminate Christmas. They want, you know, everything that has to do with God, get rid of it. Because they know that we are a Christian nation. Yes, we have Muslims here. Yes, we have Hindus, Buddhists, and all these, but for the most part, this is a Christian nation founded on Christian principles. And, you know, we're going to always stand for that. And, yes, we're always going to allow others to come and worship. The second they get out of line and start doing things to kill Christians in this country, I'm sorry, but you know there's going to have to be some changes made. But the bottom line is that's the Democrat Party. Republicans say, you know what, we want more of Christian principles. We want more conservative principles. We want to preserve our Constitution. We want to have the right to bear arms. We want to have the ability for free speech, you know, because in socialist countries, you don't have free speech. Socialist countries, you don't have gun rights. And that's what Democrats want to do in the big picture. And so when we vote, we're voting for a Democrat or a Republican, but really we're voting for, you know, preserving what we love about this country, which for you and me, you know, it is that we can wake up every morning and make something happen. We have the ability to create our own destiny in this country. And, you know, when we lose all of our rights and freedoms, we don't have that anymore. And, you know, it's scary. You know, me, I've been on this little kick for a while now, and it's been enlightening to learn really the difference in the two parties. And I would say that that's where we, and it's not real attractive, it's not a really cool thing to say that, you know, hey, I'm a Republican, I'm cool. No, Jay-Z's a Democrat, he's cooler. No, Madonna, she's a Democrat, she's cooler. You know, that's the battle we have, and it's just about cooler. You know, Obama was cool. He got 90% of the black vote. Was he qualified? No way.
Nah, you know, I felt like we got duped.
I feel like we got duped, too. Okay, so we just got
a
couple
minutes. They gave us one of our own. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we got this next election coming up. You got on the Republican side, Trump. What do you think of Trump? Yes or no?
I don't see. That's what I'm saying. I don't get myself all worked up in the stuff. I see him getting a lot of people worked up. I just see the headlines. I haven't listened to much of what he had to say. I just see the headlines. And what I tell people is he's gonna, you know, the more feathers that he ruffles, nobody else can. That's what I asked somebody. You know, I asked a couple of my buddies that were talking about it. I said, "Who else is running?" And they said Hillary Clinton, and they couldn't name anybody else. And I said, Donald Trump's winning by far. You know what I mean? Because he's the only one that everybody knows. All the stuff. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. And that's coming from somebody that doesn't. I don't watch.
Right.
I don't watch.
Right.
You know, I'm just looking at the headlines. I'm just seeing the effect he's having on people. A lot of people don't like him, but nobody else can tell me who else is running. So he's the only name. He's the only one making
and
his name
that's
for
a,
himself.
And that's a huge problem. You know, on the Republican ticket, we still got over 10 people running. You got Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
You have Ben Carson. He's, you know, black neurosurgeon. We got Ted Cruz is doing pretty well. Carly Fiorina, a woman. You know, we got more minorities running in the Republican Party than obviously the Democrats do. What does that say? Anyway, hey, we got a final minute here. It's been a pleasure, absolute pleasure, having you on the program. I'll give you a final word.
I just want to show you some respect, show you some love for having me on the station, man. Have me on the program, and everybody listening, I hope you enjoyed what you heard. My music is available anywhere you can find music. It's Jay Trouble, the Brown Queen single. About to put some major push behind it, and just trying to use my voice for a positive way. I'm trying to use my voice in a positive way and touch the people, you know.
Awesome. Hey, find me on Facebook, The Duke Machado Show, and follow me on Twitter at Duke Machado 1. Folks, it's been a great program. Look up my buddy here, Jay Trouble. Brown Queen? Is that what it's called? Brown Queen?
Brown Queen, yes, sir. Brown
All
Queen.
Right. All right, we're out of here. You guys will catch you tomorrow night.